tonight in the book of Hebrews. On Thursday, I was very short-winded, and I didn't preach a very long message. And this morning, I didn't have much time, but I was preaching a full-length message anyway. And we were, Hebrews chapter 1, we were late this morning, but you know, just the Lord is speaking, and we had to get some things said. And so, tonight, having said that, I think tonight will be a little bit short of a message, but I think it's a really important one with some, just a few important truths and thoughts. And I just want to talk about, since the Lord doesn't change, Hebrews chapter 1. In this chapter, the whole book of Hebrews, the theme is the superiority of Christ, and basically Jesus is better. And basically every chapter breaks down and starts saying Jesus is better than this, because to the Hebrews, it's written to the Jewish folks had gotten a little superstitious, and they kind of worshipped angels, and they kind of worshipped Moses, and they kind of worshipped, everything was exalted above its level. And so this book is written to say, hey, Jesus is better than these things. Jesus is better than the priesthood. Jesus is better than the law. Jesus is better than all these things. And so chapter one is about angels, because angels were thought of as way too high and way too exalted. And by the way, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. And of course, they don't read this chapter because it says that he's not an angel. He's much above an angel. As a matter of fact, he's God. Jesus is God. And verse 4, it says, being made so much better than the angels, talking about Jesus, and verse 2, hey, you have these last days spoken unto us by his Son, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than name. For unto the which the angels said, he, God, in the Bible, at any time, and now he's going to quote the Old Testament, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again he saith, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He never said that to any angels. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten, by the way, if you have King James here and you look at the Bible, when it's quoting the Old Testament, it's all caps. And so you can see in verse 5, he's quoting Psalms 2 and so other spots. And again, in verse 6, and again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world and saith, let all the angels of God worship him. Well, that's a big no-no. If Jesus isn't God, the angels are told to worship him. And they're told to commit idolatry if he's not God. So obviously he's God. He's not just an angel. And verse 7, and of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. He says the angels are just told they're servants. But to the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. So God says, thy throne, O God, to Jesus, to the Son of God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved, now he switches over to Isaiah, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens the works of thine hand. And they shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old, as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But unto which the angel said he at any time, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And they, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister who them are the heirs of salvation? Hebrews 1:8 is a real hard verse for those who don't believe Jesus, don't believe the Trinity. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. If you don't have a Trinity, you have a very confusing statement there, because the Father, God, is saying to the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever. If you don't have a Trinity, that verse doesn't make any sense. And then he talks about, and so a bunch of these, he's going to go through Psalms, he goes to Isaiah, he goes to 1 Samuel, he quotes verses all over the Bible talking about the Messiah that was to come, the Son of God would be this and this and this, and these verses referring to him as not as an angel, but as God. And then in a verse we'll read a little bit later, in Psalm 102, it says about Jesus, about the Son, verse 10, thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as at the garment. and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. And so Jesus is unchanging. He's the God of the Old Testament. And the God of the Old Testament, it says, but the whole universe changes, but and is gonna eventually it says God folds him up like a piece of clothing. All right, I'm done with this thing. Fold, fold, fold. Okay, that's the universe, it's done. Now, however long that takes, God is gonna fold the universe up, throw it, toss it out, and say, okay, I'm done with that thing. And it's talking about the agelessness of God. It says, but thou art the same. And all that time, God never changed from when he said, let there be light, boom, until he finishes up, folds up the universe like a little garment, toss it aside. That great God of the universe has never changed, but thou art the same. And so he never, ever changes. It's pretty extreme the way God says it. Not only does it not change, the Bible says there's no variableness in him. In James 1. Now that's pretty consistent. In all eternity, you have no variableness. You never vary. That's amazing. And that's God. He never changes. And it'll never change from that. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer and we'll talk about this. Father, thank you for the word now. Thank you. We can study this and talk about your nature and how it applies to us. Help us, Lord, to understand your greatness and how wonderful you are, and also the meaning of this to us today. Speak to our hearts through the word of God. Give us your power. May the power of the Holy Spirit be upon this message. May it change lives, and may it help us to think and see you like you are. I can't do that much, Lord. I can't really explain your greatness. I can't grasp it. But I pray you do the work and help us in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Whether it's good or not to change depends on who you are. There are a lot of people who need to do some changing. I hope to continue to change because I need to change still. Some of us need to do a lot of changing. Some people are glad they don't change a whole bunch because they're pretty good, and they might just make fine-tuning in their lives. So whether you change a whole bunch, we say, I like people who don't change. It depends on the person. There's some people I want to change. I want them to change really bad. There's other people I say, man, I say to my baby sometimes, I say, you are so cute. This just frees you right where you are. And they grow and they're just as cute the next stage. And, but you know, it's okay because they're Byrams. They're always going to be cute. And we want them because they're so cute. And as they're crying in the back. But some people are, you know, man, you meet a person who just doesn't seem to age, and they're always a blessing. And then whenever you see them, they're always the same. And you say, I'm so glad they're always the same. And that's a good thing because you like what they are. But even the best of humans can improve. But the good thing about God here, God is perfect. We don't want him to change at all. He's absolutely perfect. And we want him just the way he is for eternity. The Bible says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And so God never changes. So it's a good thing that he doesn't change. I still need to change. I want to fix some things. I want to fine-tune some things. And I want to fix some things in my life that I'm working on. But the Lord is perfect, and so we don't want him to change. But somebody might say, well, wait a minute. God is different. You look at him in the Old Testament. God is different in the Old Testament than he is in the New Testament. No, he isn't. He's not different. The Bible says God never changes. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The way you perceive him might be different, but he didn't change. Let me illustrate this. God may change how he works with us. That does not mean that he changed. There's a big difference there. For example, when my kids were little tiny babies, I laid on the floor with them. I drooled with them. I act like a baby with them. I played with them. I rolled around with them. I made funny noises with them. I threw them up in the air and did a whole bunch of things with them. And I dealt with them in a different way. Now, at their wedding, I'm not going to do that. Come here. But have I changed? No, I still love them. It's still me. I mean, in general, I'm pretty much the same as when they were babies. However, I change how I dealt with them. As they got to be teenagers, I change how I deal with them as they become teenagers. As they, each one of my kids, I deal different with Ron as I deal with Tiffany. And I deal differently. Why? Because they're different stages, and I deal with them a little bit differently. In the Old Testament, God dealt with man a little bit differently because Christ did not come. But God didn't change who he was. When my kids come to get married, I'll threaten their spouses and beat up the boys so they want to marry them just to make sure they know you better not mess with my daughters or kill you. And I'll deal a little bit different with that. Once they're married, I'll be nice to whoever marries them, if they're nice. Right now, I deal a certain way with my kids, and I'm involved in their life and tell them what they can and can't do. When they get married, I'm not going to control their lives. I shouldn't have said that in front of them. But I'll deal a little bit. Have I changed? No, it's just they're at a different stage. But I haven't changed. And so God deals with people at different levels. God gives you a lot more grace when you're a baby Christian. But after you have certain expectations at a certain level of maturity. And if I started doing right now the things I was doing when I was saved 3 months, I'd be under some big judgment from God. Because God expects way more of me now. So God hasn't changed. He just has changed how he dealt with me. Because God never changes. He's the same God. And he's always the same. We'll read many verses that say that. And he does that. But God never changes. It says, as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. And thy years do not fail. God says, my name is Jehovah. That means a self-existent one. God says, before Abraham was, I am. He calls himself the I am. I just am. I always was. I always will be. I'll be there in the end. I'm God. I'm perfect. I'm the God of the universe. I am who I am. I'm never going to change. That's God. There's no variableness to him. We'll read that verse a little bit later in James. Since God does not change, I have just five thoughts. Since God does not change, and what does that mean to us? Let me take you to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Since God does not change. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. By the way, to the cults who believe Jesus became a God, that's a rough verse on you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what the Bible says. Next verse. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Now, in this context, verse 7 is a verse that stands alone about authority. The verses before that is talking about God being your helper and things like that. But verse 8 goes to verse 9. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 7 has nothing to do with verse 8. It's a new subject. Remember them to have their rule over you and consider follow them and consider the end of their conversation. And then verse 8, he says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Boom. Why is that there? Next verse. It says, be not carried about because of that, with all kinds of winds of doctrine. God doesn't change. So number one, our belief should not change. Our belief should not change. Bible says this in other spots. I'm going to read you out of Ephesians chapter 4, but of course it says there, God doesn't change. Don't be carried about with diverse doctrine. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love. It says, you know what? Don't be blown about by every wind of doctrine. If something was right, and the Bible said it when I was a new Christian, and the Bible said this, the Bible is not changing. God has not changed what he believed. But everybody believes this now. This is what all the trend of Christianity is. That's nice. God didn't change in the last 10 years. But this is what all the trend of theology is. That's nice. We're going to get blown about by every wind of doctrine. The Bible isn't going to change. God's not going to change. The Bible says we're not to be led about by the sleight of men, by their cunning craftiness, blown about by every wind of doctrine. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You will find historically those who had the Bible as their only authority and are full of the Holy Spirit believed the basic same things always. They always came back to the same set of doctrines. They might have come from over here. They might have come from the Catholic Church. They might have come from an unsaved area. They might have went against the grain of the doctrine of the day. They might have came from any direction, but they will always end up with the same set of basic doctrines, a second birth. The Bible's the Word of God. It's the only authority. We have direct access to God. There's one God, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, salvation through Jesus Christ alone. They always come to those set of doctrines because God has never changed his doctrine. I want to say Christianity is a changing real quick. But God is not changing. So somebody's wrong. I'm betting God's the right one. And I'm not going to change my doctrine because it gets unpopular. I'm not going to change what we believe because it's what all the churches are doing. We're not going to be blown about by everyone's doctrine. When the prosperity gospel winds blew through, we said, that's a stupid doctrine. Jesus is going to make you healthy, wealthy, and rich. He didn't even do that to himself or the Apostle Paul or the Christian believers. That's an unbiblical doctrine. God has not changed where all of a sudden he's out there to make you healthy and wealthy and rich and do that. And all these people preach that and they come on there and God's going to heal you completely. Guys, wear glasses. Never trust a faith healer who wears glasses. You'll get that later. Listen, we've got to decide what the Bible says. It isn't going to change, and God's not going to change. What if we look really weird and we're the only church who still sticks with it? Then we'll be the only church who still sticks with it. We're not going to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't all of a sudden say, you know what? Everybody now has realized that the way I said was wrong before. You know what? I don't know what I was thinking. You know what? I was wrong about that. You know what? Hey, Christians, I'm going to tell y'all, Holy Spirit, go tell them I was wrong about that. He thought it all through. He never changes. So what if homosexuality becomes accepted as okay in every church? Still wrong. What if worldliness becomes a trend of Christianity and they're trying to be like the world? Still wrong. What if immodesty and people dressing real immodest becomes the trend and everybody wants to dress immodest and think it's okay because everybody's doing it? The Bible still says women's supposed to dress modest. What if it becomes okay to lie? What if it becomes okay to steal? What if all of a sudden there isn't just one God? What if all the doctrines come along? What if all the trends come along? What if all of a sudden they say this isn't really sin and this isn't really wrong and this isn't really a bad thing? What are we going to do about it? Are we going to stick with the Bible or are we going to go do what the world's doing? If God doesn't change, we shouldn't be changing. Now, I understand. What if we find out we're wrong on something? What if all of a sudden we find out, oh, we're wrong about the rapture, and if the Bible says it, then we'll believe it. But I think if you start changing a whole bunch because of trends, because of new things coming around, there's no new doctrine if it's from God. God says what he says. We'll follow the Bible, but I'm telling you, we've already sought the Lord. We've already looked at what the Scripture says. We already prayed for the Lord to guide us. We got a pretty good idea on most everything, on what the Bible says. The basics of the Bible are pretty clear. God doesn't change. We shouldn't be changing our doctrine. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. We have an anchor. Number two, if God never changes, number two, to be godly, we will become stable. To become godly, we'll become stable. Boy, I'd like to park here for about 3 hours, but I might get lonely. God's stable. If you're not stable, you're not godly. Make sense? We're supposed to be stable, not changing all the time. Proverbs 24:21 says, meddle not with those given to change. In general, the trend of the Bible is when things are changing all the time, it's not godly because God is not changing. The Bible says, meddle not with those given to change. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says this, It says, "Be therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I understand you're a new Christian and you're kind of struggling with this thing. You're kind of growing. You're kind of going on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. You're doing this. I understand that you're a human and you're doing this. But your spiritual life is not supposed to be this. It's not supposed to be, I'm a great Christian for 3 months and all of a sudden I'm a bad Christian for 2 months. It's not supposed to be, God led me to do this, but now God led me to do this. Now God, no. It's not supposed to be, I like this person, they're the best person in the world, I don't like them now. That is not stability that God is. God is. And I want to say this, meddle not with those given to change. Do not surround yourself with inconsistent, unstable people. Let me say that again. Do not surround yourself with unstable people. God is stable. Don't marry an unstable person. You will kick yourself until the lawyer, the judge says it's final, divorce is. I understand. Some people are a little more emotional. Nothing wrong with that. It's fine. I'm talking about unstable. I'm talking about, you know, some people wake up in the morning, they're grumpy one morning. Some people sometimes eat too much guacamole and they're grumpy. And I understand that. They eat too much extra thick bacon and they get pains in their side. And things like that happen. You don't sleep enough. You're sick or whatever. I got a little flu this week. It was a grumpy flu, I called it, because I was grumpy when I had it. And then when my kids got it and they were grumpy, then another kid got it and they were grumpy. So I called it the grumpy flu. You ever have a grumpy flu? And I had the grumpy flu. And understand that we have a variableness. But you know what? You shouldn't be labeled as being inconsistent, unstable, all over the place. What are you? You ever have somebody who thinks you're the greatest person 1 week and hates your guts the next week? Unstable. You have someone who loves Jesus with all their heart. They just want to live for Jesus with all their heart. And then next week you're posting bail for them. That's not stable. That's not stable. Steadfast, unmovable. God just, I'm always the same. We are to be consistent. When lows come, we don't change a whole bunch. We just feel a little bit lower. When highs come, we don't change a whole bunch. God wants me to do this. God wants me to do this. God wants me to do this. God has not changed his mind every 15 minutes. God called me to Seattle when I was 17. Nothing ever changed. I got here when I was 28. Not a single thought change on that. Why? Did I have ups and downs and doubts and worries and frustrations and I wish I'd get this done? And I mean, the normal stuff of life. But we're still, I never doubt, because God didn't change his mind. I wasn't, what's happened to it? God's stable. He knows my phone number. If anything changes, he'll call me. He's stable. He's stable. We should be stable people. Next. Didn't spend my 3 hours. You got lucky. Number three. If God is stable, he is only good. Now let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, are you with me? All right. James 1. Because if you aren't with me, I'm going to freak out. James 1. And verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man when he is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Do not err, same subject, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 16 is saying, don't make a mistake in this. When you're tempted, you're not tempted by God. Why? Because every good and perfect gift, only pure things come from God. You're not tempted by God. So he's always good. I know this goes without saying, but when you were 9 years old and you prayed for some little blessing and God gave you that blessing, God was good. And when you were 18 and you prayed for that girl to like you and a miracle happened and she did, God was good. And when you were 25 and you had a baby and the baby's in the hospital and you prayed, oh God, help my baby be okay. And God did that. He was good. And then you turn 45 and the doctor said, it's cancerous. God didn't change. God didn't change. Matter of fact, he didn't even change before you were born. And he's not going to change if your marriage falls apart. And he's not going to change if you have terrible health, if you're involved in a serious car accident. He is good. And he's always going to be good. You better get that stuck into your skull. Because you're going to go to times where the devil's going to scream at you, God is not good to you. If God was good to you when everything was good, God's still good. God was good to Jesus when he helped him feed the 5,000, all the miracles. His Father was good to him when he walked on water and he helped him. And God was good to him when he saved him out of being killed in Egypt. And God is good to him when he was on the cross. God didn't change. God is not going to change. The God who formed the universe, who is there before let there be light was ever there, and he was always there and never began, and our minds can't even comprehend it. He was just the same God as listening to this sermon today, who will be the same God in 10 billion years, who never varied, did not change because your life fell to pieces. If he was good, he didn't change. He's always good. Now, you may not see his goodness. Or there's a bunch of you in the Bible who didn't see his goodness. Read the book of Psalms. You'll find people go, God, what are you doing? I'll trust you, but I need to see what you're doing. I don't understand. Job did not see the goodness of God with his 10 kids dying in a day and his health dying, his wife doing her thing. But he understood God was still good. He said, I wish I could just die. I don't want to live anymore. But God didn't change. And Job understood that. If he was good, he's still good. He always will be good. Your circumstance in your life did not change the God of the universe. You getting laid off did not all of a sudden God say, whoa, I'm warped. Whoa. It doesn't work that way. He's the same. Life's crazy. The world's cursed. Satan fights. But God's always good. He never changes. Next, if God never changes, then we are safe, even though we might not deserve it. We are safe, even though we might not deserve this. Deserve being safe. I'm going to take you to Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. Amen, I like this. It's good stuff, Pastor. Amen, good preaching. Good stuff. God never changes, and so we're safe. I'm glad I'm safe, because you know what? If God changed, if I were God, the way I think about myself, I would change and zap me. There are days where I say, you idiot, I'd kill you. You ever tell yourself that? Oh, you're better than me. And then, but God says, you know what? You're lucky. I'm steady. Malachi 3, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, is the great verse, ye sons of Jacob, are ye not consumed? These people have been wicked, wicked, wicked. And God says, I'm the Lord. I never change. Because of that, you're not dead. Your nation is not totally destroyed because they left God. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, say the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? And he tells them how to return, in what areas? Tithing. And so God says, it's by my goodness. It's because I'm stable. It's because I don't change. I promised you I'd never consume your nation. I made a rainbow. I would not consume all mankind. And I don't change. I don't go back on my word. And so God says that. He says in Lamentations chapter 3, because God's the same, we're safe. God's not going to. You know what's good? I'll tell you the truth. Let me turn to my verse here. Right there, Lamentations 3. You know what's good? God's not going to cast me away in my salvation because God is the same. He knew my sin before I was ever born. He loved me and Jesus died for it 2,000 years before I was ever born. And because of that, he's not going to consume me and cast me away because I'm not worthy and I'm not worthy. Look what he says. This is Lamentations 3:21. When I recall in my mind, therefore I have hope. Why? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He says, I'm not going to be consumed. I'm not going to be thrown away. God's not going to give up on me. And how many of you are glad God didn't give up on you? I mean, I'm glad God didn't give up on me. There are times when God ought to say, man, I've given you so many chances. 3 strikes and you're out. Buddy, you're at 10 million strikes. But God never changes. And so I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you're not consumed. My compassions fail not. If God had one bad day, we'd be in trouble. America would be destroyed in that one day. God doesn't change. I want to say one more thing. If God doesn't change, then I'm going to turn to Isaiah chapter 50. If God doesn't change, this is things that if God doesn't change, these things are blessings about that. I'm glad God doesn't change. Can you imagine having an erratic God? Can you imagine having an inconsistent God? One day he says you're saved. You know what? I'm sick of you. You're not saved today. Next day, you know what? I like you. Next day, you know what? I can't stand you. Drive me crazy. Next day, pew. Next day, you know what? I decided that wasn't enough. That doesn't please me anymore. I like this. Can you imagine having a God who wasn't stable? It's so good that God never changes. It's so good we know what he wants. He wrote down what he wants. If God never changes, then if there is a problem with him doing a great work that needs to be done, he is not now limited in that work. God is not limited. The great things that he's ever done, he can still do today. Isaiah chapter 50. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? To whom I have put away? God says, hey, where did I try to divorce you from you? I didn't do that. Or which of my creditors to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities ye have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, talking about a nation, when I came, was there no man? And I called, there was none to answer. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers wilderness. The fish stinketh because there is no water and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness. I make sackcloth their covering. You know what God says, hey, in my word, the Pacific Ocean's dry. In my word, the stars all go dark. He says, is my arm shortened that it cannot save? Can I not reach you anymore and save this nation? You're sitting there out there saying, God can't deliver us anymore. We're in big trouble and we're in bondage and we can't be delivered anymore. God says, is my arm shortened that it cannot save? He says, your iniquities have caused this. I can save you at any second. I am not limited now. I can save you like I always have been able to save you. It's your iniquities. It's your iniquities. Isaiah 59, he says the same thing. Verse 1, Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and the Lord, and your sins have hid his face from you, and ye would not hear. And then he says, what you've done wrong. I want to say this. The same God that parted the Red Seas, and they stood up, and walls of water on each side of them. I saw the movie. I know what happened. And they walked across on dry ground. Has not changed. He didn't get old. He's still young and spry. He didn't say, oh, that old America, wish I still had my strength. I'd change that nation. God's not saying that. God is not saying, you know what? I know your family's not saved. I sure wish I could save them. I wish I had power back like I did when Jesus was alive and back in the time when the Apostle Paul was alive. I wish I could bring revival like when Finney was alive or Jonathan Edwards was alive or Whitfield or Wesley or Moody or Spurgeon. I wish I could do miracles like those days. I wish I could do like miracles like I did with the Moravians or with the Methodists or the Hussites. I wish I could do great miracles of revival like I did in those days. God's arm is not shortened. The same God of the Old Testament, the same God who said, let there be light, he ain't changed a bit. He can work whatever miracle. What person needs to be transformed that you need to believe that God hasn't changed and he can still transform that person? He's been doing it for a long time and he is not any weaker than he was. God who made the universe, God who parted the Red Sea, God who did all the miracles of the Bible, God who made mountains rise out of nothing, God who made everything out of nothing, he is not weak, his arm is not shortened, he is no less strong than he was in Old Testament times or New Testament times. He's not changed. He still has the power to do mighty works. He still has power to change lives. He still has power to bring revival. He can still set you free. He can still change the world. He can still bring a great revival across this planet. It has not changed, and he is not limited in the great things he can do. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God says in Jeremiah 33:3. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father in heaven. John 14:12, I believe. John 14:12, somewhere in that area. Listen, God is not limited today. He hasn't changed. But the problem is, if God's not working, remember how God worked in your new convert? That God hasn't changed. But God says, you know what? My arm's not shortened, but your iniquities are separated between you and me. Now, you ready? Here's a pop quiz. If God is not working in your life like he was, if you're not close to God as you were before, who changed? Who moved? If there's a problem in God's working, God did not get weaker at any point. God did not all of a sudden lose his temper and decide to treat you differently now for no apparent reason. Your iniquities, it says, have separated you from God. God doesn't change. You can count on God. He's a great, almighty, all-powerful, omniscient God today. And he can do big things today. And he's ready to bring revival to your life. He's ready to save. He's ready to work in your family's life. He's ready to bring revival to Open Door Baptist. He's ready to change Seattle. He's ready to change America. He's ready to change the world. He's ready to transform lives. He's ready to set people free. He's just waiting to work. He just got a bunch of people who are saying, you know, I don't know. He probably can't. This probably isn't going to happen. Praying like that. But God hasn't changed. If God hasn't changed, our belief should not change. If God hasn't changed, to be godly means we'll be stable. If God hasn't changed, then he is only good. If God hasn't changed, then we are safe, even though we might not deserve it. If God hasn't changed, then if there is a problem with him doing a great work that needs to be done, he is not now limited. He can still do it. He's still alive. And if there's a problem with the relationship, then it's probably us. The problem with him working, the clog is probably not in God's strength, but in our, something with us. Our faith, our actions. God says, hey, and he invites Israel, hey, is my arm shortened that I cannot save? I can darken the skies. I can dry up the ocean. I can do anything in 1 second. You just have not let me do it. I want to do this work, but I work in a certain way very consistently. And you're hindering me because I work through your prayers, your life, your faith. That's how I work. God hasn't changed, though. I'm glad God hasn't changed. He's a good God. I don't want him to change. He's a good God. He's perfectly right. We just need to go ahead and enjoy it. And you'll find that people who are stable, you like them because you know what they're going to do. If they're good, stable. We need to be stable like God. Let's let God work, since the Lord doesn't change. Let's pray. Father, we read a good amount of verses here where you said you don't change. You wanted us to know that. You said it in the plainest possible words. I'm the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, we just ask that you'd help us to realize you're still good, to realize you're still powerful, to realize that your goodness is always there, that we're safe, that the world's not, you're gonna fix it all someday. But Lord, we have a rainbow, and you don't change your mind. You're just stable. You're the same God you always were. I thank you, Father, because you're a good God. I pray tonight, however you spoke to each one of us, we would believe. And if some of us have said you've changed and thought maybe something's different about you now, I pray we'd say, what was I thinking? I pray today we would become stable people like our God. I pray to be people who believe that you can still do great things and call on you to do great things, who still believe that you're almighty. Thank you, Lord, that you're so good to us. Thank you that you're so much the same. Thank you you don't have a bad day where you give up on us, Father. Thank you for your goodness and your consistency. We praise you for it. And Lord, I pray that our own lives would be impacted because you don't change. In Jesus' name. Heads about, our eyes are closed. The God's